A famous theologian is said to have quipped, and I quote, "Preaching on Trinity Sunday makes me feel like the heart attack victim who called for a priest." Upon arriving, the good father moved the gathering crowd aside, knelt beside her, and asked, "Do you believe in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Ghost?" With great effort, the stricken woman snapped, I imagine with an Irish accent, "And here I lie dying. The good father is asking me riddles." If only Trinity Sunday were a riddle, a tricky question with a plausible explanation. But it's not a riddle, and it cannot be explained. So much for this sermon. Even the day itself is different. On all other Sundays, we proclaim and we celebrate God within the context of an event, like Christmas, Pentecost, Easter, and so on, through the actions of a person, such as Mary, John the Baptist, Peter, Jesus, or by way of parables, beautiful stories like the prodigal son and the good Samaritan. In other words, we announce the incomprehensible love who is God through tangible things and people we can get our heads around, things we can easily visualize. Ah, but not today. No such luck for us on Trinity Sunday. Today is the only day in our Christian worship life that a belief, a teaching, a doctrine of faith takes front and center. If you look, and even if you don't look, you will not find the word Trinity anywhere in the Bible. It's actually everywhere, since the Bible's about God, and God is the Trinity, and God is everywhere, as subtly though truly present as the wind we see through the willows. Trinity Sunday is the day the whole Christian church is called to face the frustrating fact that God is bigger than anything we could ask or imagine. The painting, Leaning Against the Altar, done by a beloved local artist, is an attempt, finite though it is, to give us a little hint of the immeasurable immensity and incomprehensibility of God. You'll notice on the upper right a little yellow circle which says, "Your idea of God." That's not meant to disrespect your or my idea of God. It's simply to remind us that God is greater than we could begin to ask or imagine. And if you haven't seen it or can't, would you stand up and look? Because what I'm going to say in the next few minutes will refer to that picture. Good, good, stand up. Even if you're Anglicans, stand up. Even the rector is standing up, yay!
So if you can't read it, it says, "Your idea of God, God."
As I said, Trinity Sunday is the day the whole Christian church is called to face the frustrating fact God is bigger than anything we can ask or imagine, that God cannot be grasped by a riddle or a concept, cannot be trapped in a box or viewed under a microscope. In other words, that the Holy of Holies is utterly ungraspable. But we try. We're only human. And our doing so reminds me of a dialogue between a little boy named Timmy, age 4, and Timmy's mom. Timmy. Mommy, is God everywhere? Yes, dear, he is. Is God in this room with us? Yes, he sure is. Is God in my mug? Yes. Timmy, clapping his hand over his mug, got him. On the first day of a recent workshop about Western and Eastern church theologies, I asked the beautiful people, 15, 16 of them gathered in the group, what they actually, even the word understand is inadequate, but how they understood God. You know, who God is or what God is, that sort of open-ended, impossible question. And the predominant answer given by everybody who spoke up was one little word. I asked the 8 o'clock service if they could guess what that word was, and Patrick, the sacristan, God bless him, he said, love. And I said, that's absolutely right, but that's not the word that was offered in the workshop, nor is it the word that I would have used had I been asked that same question some time ago. The predominant answer given was the small word, Jesus. Jesus is God, and God is Jesus. That's it. As I said, what we had all, myself included, generally absorbed through our Western culture, tradition, and families. And no one can blame us for that, because our two creeds, the ancient declarations or confessions of our faith, easily imply that. In the oldest one, the Apostles' Creed, we affirm, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. And in the Nicene Creed, the same. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. You may have noticed there's no mention whatsoever of the Holy Spirit or the Trinity, the other fundamentals of our faith. When all is said and done, and in the minds of many, if not most, Western Christians, God is Jesus, one and the same. And the infinite nature of the Holy Transcendent One is captured in a box labeled Jesus. But not all Christians think this way. A reality that finally dawned on me like a sledgehammer against my soul. 4 years of Jesuit theology, it doesn't get more theological than that, and nearly 5 of seminary, plus tons of study and years of clergy conferences, did not get this fact through to my Western Anglican brain. I may have been asleep at the wheel, but I'm not now. And the sharing of a broader, deeper, and richer vision of God than I had ever imagined, and perhaps greater than you have ever imagined, is now front and center in my ministry as priest. Any faithful religion nurtures relationship with God. It's all about relationship. community. It offers us any faithful religion, aids to help us better know and come closer to and love the lover of our souls. And we can't know somebody, really, let alone love them, without at least a hint of who they are and a kind of what makes them tick, an awareness of the other that is more than one-dimensional. More than one-dimensional. I'm sorry, but the image of God so many faithful Christians, including moi, have inherited is, in my humble opinion, just not good enough. Not good enough for us, and certainly not fair to God. Not deep enough, not broad enough, not big enough. And so on this Trinity Sunday, when the subject is nothing less than the unimaginable nature of the incomprehensible creator of the cosmos, I'm going to share a few differing perspectives held by millions of Eastern Church siblings. Are you ready? But first, a Western foundation. See if these stereotypes touch anything in your memory bank. God, an old white male with white beard flowing, seated on a throne far above us earthly critters, a deity keeping score and writing it all down, judging all and punishing with hell, and needing Jesus' death to forgive us. Lots of Christians would say, yeah, but my idea is in there somewhere, my picture. Their images commonly found in Western Christianity, images that I too inherited as a child, though more loving depictions fortunately came to prevail. Then again, many see Jesus himself as God, and please, I'm not in any way denigrating or limiting or anything negative Jesus. Jesus, I bow before the name. But many of us see Jesus himself as God, even though the Gospels repeatedly report occasions when Jesus prayed to God. And you might recall wondering about that when you read it. On the other hand, getting back to that painting, our Eastern Orthodox siblings have enjoyed a different tradition in which, for centuries, millions have pictured God as more than Jesus himself. Like many in the early church, the Eastern churches have always perceived God to be infinitely bigger than the flesh and blood Nazarene. God is envisioned as a Trinity, a holy threesome, three divine persons, and we recognize those, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit or Ghost. And that within a unity of love and more than a verb. God is recognized as best we can as an action or movement. That's why that painting on the bottom part is so much a movement. It's an action. Early Christian theologians borrowed a word, paraklesis, for your next trivia pursuit, that might be something you'll need to know. Paraklesis, it's from 3rd century Greek theater to try to describe this motion. Parakoresis means to dance around, and doesn't that painting depict movement? Not something static, standing still. God was visualized and is visualized by many of us more as a cosmic dance. A cosmic dance, an infinite flow and divine dance of love among three eternal partners. And I'm going to say that again because it's bigger than I can imagine. An infinite flow and divine dance of love among three eternal partners. We can't even begin to imagine God as a singular. God is just too big. It's believed this triune God, as the second person of the Trinity, we call the Christ, created the universe and permeates every single thing in creation, every material thing, revealing, and here's a deep one, revealing God in and as creation, while infinitely greater than all creation. Take a breath. St. John refers to this Christ in a way that you will recognize, especially at Christmas, the Word, Logos, the pre-existent Spirit, and the words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through Him," will resonate in our memory. Eastern Orthodoxy includes belief that this Christ spoke in Jesus and through Jesus, that Jesus in his 33 years on this mortal planet was the incarnation of the Christ, God. And so when Christians use the declaration, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," to bash non-Christians, those believing in other faiths, it just doesn't work, because it's God in Christ speaking those words. And a kicker here, Christ wasn't Jesus' last name. At the first service, the four of them laughed. No, I guess the three of them, yes, they laughed. And that's why Paul nearly always refers to him as Christ Jesus, to distinguish the mortal Jesus, as precious as Jesus is, to distinguish the mortal incarnation from that divine Holy Spirit. This is why not many people take theology. When all is said and done, there's no comprehending the Trinitarian God. Trinity Sunday encourages us to think about God, about who or what God actually is to you, to me. In other words, how do we relate to the lover of our souls? Is this deity an aloof white male keeping score and punishing sinners? A deity that we can fit in a cup or picture in our minds? Or an infinite and transcendent mystery beyond thought and comprehension, a cosmic sweep of never-ending freedom, compassion, and love. A cosmic sweep of never-ending freedom, compassion, and love. Or something else. Because that's entirely up to you and me. But if you're even a little bit like me, poor souls, once I beheld that explosion of life and love, I simply could not unsee it.